Let's pray. Father, we ask and receive that you grant to us wisdom and insight in your word. Thank you for the Spirit of truth walks with and in us to furnish our minds with understanding, to furnish our thinking with insight that will walk worthy of you unto all pleasing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel 24, this morning to the afternoon, we want to look at holiness. Hallelujah. So I'll say holiness. So one of the doctrine of holiness, the practice of holiness, then the riddles in holiness, and the jokes about holiness. Isn't that funny? Because there are really jokes that people have about holiness. That means this teaching is meant to address the jokes too about holiness. Luke's Gospel 24. And I'll read verse 44. It says, "And these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then verse 45, which we'll delve into in a moment. It says, "Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Now, do you notice what he did? He opened their understanding. That means there's an understanding of the scriptures. Now, go to John 5. I want to show you something. There are times you can study and study wrongly. There are some kinds of study that will never lead you to the truth. And you can be very diligent. I always tell people the worst experience a Christian can have is to do diligently what he ought not to have done at all. To do it diligently. And you ought not to have done it at all. Now in John 5:39, Jesus addresses something. Now he's talking to Pharisees and Sadducees, who, by the way, are experts or renowned experts of the scriptures in their day. But look at what he tells them. John 5:39. These are people who, maybe in today's language, they have Bible schools. In today's language, or in today's explanation, they have books they had written. I was talking to a very respected clergy in Nigeria, old enough, in his 70s, and he said, "Where do I start?" So all the books I've ever written are on works. And I'm just getting to know the word. And I'm in my 70s. He's a respected man. So I'm in my 70s. And he's built ministries, he's traveled all over the world. So you can be diligent. And your diligence really still hasn't gotten the answer. Jesus is talking to Pharisees and Sadducees here, and he says, John 5:39, "Search the scriptures." Actually, the original says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think." Notice what he says. He says, "You search." That word "search" means to investigate. To investigate in order to see a result. Hirunao, you know that word already. Which is not bad. It's not bad to investigate. It's not bad to want to know. But John, look at that word. That word is not a bad word. Because in John 7:52, Jesus used it as well. John 7:52. They answered and said unto him, "Art thou of Galilee? Search and look out of Galilee arises no prophet." These were the Pharisees. But in Romans 8:27, the same word was used. Romans 8:27. "For he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit." Do now, same word. 1 Corinthians 2:16. "Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him?" But we have the mind of Christ. Instruct. Search him out. That's what it means. That he might know him. 1 Peter 1:11, talking about the prophet who searched diligently, the Revelation 2:23. So it's not an ungodly thing to search. But notice what Jesus said. He said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." You think. Don't forget, they are searching. They are buying books and tapes. They have Greek and Hebrew materials. But he says, in them you think. That word think is dokeo. I showed you that yesterday. D-O-K-E-O. It means to expect to, or to appear as. So, he says, you think. That is, you expect to, or you appear as. In other words, Jesus is questioning their search. Is questioning their search. I was talking to someone the other day, and he says, "Well, there are some books that are not in the Bible." He said, "They are lost books." I said, "You will get lost too." That's a wrong search. He said, "You are searching." So he's questioning their search. Hallelujah. Don't assume that everybody who is searching the scriptures is sincere. Don't assume. Look at this. In Acts 17, let's see the difference now. In Acts 17:11. And that's why I always tell people about this. Study the Bible for yourself. I don't say. But nobody listens to me and doesn't study. But I don't say. Know God for yourself. There's no scripture like that. To know God for yourself. Doesn't happen anywhere. So, look at Acts 17:11. Acts 17. "These were more noble." Now he was a Berea. So say, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness of mind." They received the word. What does that mean? Pay attention now. Paul is preaching. That word is message. Paul and Silas, they are preaching. They first of all received the word. Readiness of mind is the word prothumai in the Greek. P-R-O-T-H-U-M-A-I. It means willingness. They were inclined. They wanted to hear him. Now, that's not the attitude of someone. As you are preaching, he is quoting the scriptures with you. Then they had that kind of attitude. The prosumai, you see that word used by Paul? 2 Corinthians 8, 11 and 12 and 19 concerning the willingness to give. The willingness to give. 2 Corinthians 9, 2 as well. A zeal that is inclined to receive. The word they receive, the word is the dekoma in the Greek. It means to welcome. To welcome. Their attitude was very different. So the first thing they did was that they paid attention. That's the first thing they did. They welcomed the message. Then, let's read verse 12 together. Sorry, the same verse, sorry. The B part. With all readiness of mind, and what they do? They search the scriptures. Which scriptures? The scriptures that Paul taught with. They search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, the search is the word anakrino. Anakrino means, now this is the point, then won't you pay attention? Means to inquire to know. Now, what's the first one we said? Hurano is to search for a particular result. Right? Now, anakrino is to search to know. That's a different thing. The first set, they searched for a particular result. This one, they searched to know. So, you can find people studying and buying materials and all that. It doesn't mean that they want to know. Sometimes people want, they have an expected end. They have a result they want to have. I know some folks, if they don't hear about eternal salvation, the message is not good. They have itching ears. It's not good. That's why I always tell people, I'm not a grace preacher. You'll be disappointed. I'm not one. That's what they want to hear. Every other subject, it falls flat on their face. So, these folks are like that. They were searching. He said, you will not come to me that you may have life. So, the search of the Pharisees was argumentative. They were searching to counter Jesus. That's what they were doing. There are some folks years ago that went to take Brother Higgins' books and his tapes. He said they wanted to review it. They were critiquing it. Now, I have been privileged to critique books for people. I have been privileged to do that. And I review them. And I send it back to them and then they adjust. In fact, there's someone who just gave us his books last week and this week. A leading minister in Nigeria. So he gave us his books to review for him. And we had to do it. So not wrong in that. But we're not reviewing his books to oppose him. We reviewed his books because he felt we were able to correct whatever he wrote. And that's a very humble person because he's a respected clergyman in Nigeria and he gives us his books. In fact, he said, where's your church? I said, somewhere in Lagos. You get the point. He said, where exactly? Where have you guys been? You know, and we reviewed that. So there's nothing wrong in that. He gave us that duty to do that. But you see, that's not what these guys were doing. They were studying to attack. And I know something. The minute you want to focus on someone's message to preach, you will always say the wrong things. And that's what they were doing here. Hallelujah. What is now? I wrote this, I said, the search was argumentative to counter Jesus. Being disagreeable never helps. That's why you will never find me say, I don't agree. The Bible is not subject to debates. I don't agree. No, it's not about you agreeing. Just plainly say it is not in Scripture. It's not about you agreeing or disagreeing. So, these guys, they were in Jesus' meetings for that purpose. If I look at this, look at Acts 8. You know, the Enoch that Philip met, you know, he was searching sincerely. How you know people that search? Watch the kind of comments they make. Was it last week I told you how not to engage in silly questions? Can you remember? Because you are disturbing yourself. Are you now saying that tithing is wrong? Yes. That's the way to answer a fool. Why should it be wrong? Because it's wrong. Did I ever say that? That means in your mind, you make conclusions. Someone asked me, he said, do people give tithes in your church? I said, I don't know, I cannot tell. I said, why would you know? I said, because we don't have branding for our giving. Just lay. So some folks will give 10%, some 0.1%. Is that you? I said, oh, that's me. Repent! Now. Repent or perish. So I said, do people give first fruits in your church? I said, I can't tell. Why wouldn't you know? Because they own their money. They determine what they're giving. Say, well, why are you not preaching it? That's the problem. See? He has a mindset. He has a mindset. Because if you tell people not to give tithes, then you are also a lawgiver. You are equally a lawgiver. Just tell people to give. If you like tithes, if you like 20th, if you like 30th, if you like 0th, praise God. Some guys, that's what they like most about teaching New Testament. That's why, I don't have to tithe again. Rather than the freedom to give much more, they say, you give God praise. Look at Acts 8. You know that man was doing something different. He was also reading the prophet Isaiah in verse 30. And he looked at what Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? And I said, who are you? He said, Enoch, and Enoch is a wise man. He said, how can I, except some man guide me? Philip said, study for yourself. No, he helped him. So his own search was different. But these Pharisees, they were searching to counter. That's what they were doing. So I said, have you read one article? So what article? I was in the US in the meeting. He said, there's an article I want everybody to read. And we're all in the meeting. How a Christian can lose his salvation. You sat down to study how a Christian can lose his salvation. Just like reading a book, How to Lose Your Job. And the person was doing hermeneutics on how to lose your salvation. That's not the kind of study that brings growth. Look at Matthew 15. Still out there? Let's look at the kind of, and you see, after, you must be discerning. Look at the kind of questions they were asking. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Those are the kind of questions they were asking. Look at Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, Matthew 12, 1. Our disciples were all hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. These guys, yeah? And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, your disciples. That wasn't a mistake. Do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Can you see that? Their questions, it's not that they wanted to know. They only wanted to create a debate. They didn't want to know. No. They wanted to just create a debate. See how Jesus answered them. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Go to that Matthew 12. There's Matthew 15. Let's see how we answered them. The Bible says in verse 12, disciples, after Jesus answered them, the Bible says the disciples said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard your saying? They were offended. Because he told them, he said, your heart is far from God. He finished them. And they got angry. The Bible says they were so angry. The disciples now said, don't you know that these guys don't like what you just said? And he said, look at verse 13. Every tree or every plant, Jesus wasn't, it doesn't look Uche's face at all. He said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Simple. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Ever. Not seeker sensitive at all. At all. Fred Price said, it's bad enough if the blind lead the blind. He said, but when the blind begins to lead those who can see, that's a real problem. So he came out at them. He said, look at you. What are you talking about? He said, all your traditions are vain worship. And he was quoting from the scriptures. In Matthew 12. See how he answered them in 12. In verse 10. Behold, there was a man that had his hand withered. You know, in Matthew 12, he responded to them. Every time he responded, then he went to the scriptures. He now told them, look at how he answered in 3. Have you not read? The truth about that, those who come to argue will not read. Matthew 12:3. Have you not read what Moses did when he was hungry and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat, sharing my own his farm, and ate the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither was for them that were with him, but only for priests. Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Hey! Their eyes will never go there. Have you not read? To know that they can never be satisfied. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 10. And behold, when he left, they followed him again. They'll be following your posts. Not to learn. I asked one brother, I said, every time I see you on my wall, on Facebook, is either you are trying to argue or you are liking somebody who is arguing. I said, why is this? He said, well, am I not free? I said, no, you are not. He said, I'm only informing you because I'm removing your name now. Not from the book of life. I don't have the right over that. From my own book. He said, but why? What kind of question is that? You understand? I said, I'm removing you. I said, I cannot. Again. I said, what I have on my list are friends. You are not a friend. So are you going to remove me? I said, I'm just informing you in love. I have others who want to be friends. So I removed you. Such is life. They came back again. Are you seeing? Look at the stupid question they asked. There was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked, saying, is he lustful? The one that blocked the man's healing. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Why did they ask that question? That they might accuse him. Can you see? Same thing in Luke 5. After somebody had been, say, take up your bed and walk, say, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? No, it's criminal. Now, they won't heal the fly if it falls down. But they'll be asking questions. Stupid questions. Now, you can see that they were searching, but they were not searching to know. And that's what I told last week. Those debates will only increase ungodliness. Jesus just gave them, boom. You know what he got? Ella? Boom. Go. Jesus did not do any exegesis with them. Don't bother yourself. They are not searching to know. That's not what they are doing. Matthew 16. Verse 1. Let's read that together. Matthew 16 verse 1. Let's go. And the Pharisees with the Sadducees, they are always together. One is far, one is sad. They came, tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. That's what they came for. He told them. Look at verse. So when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites. Can you imagine the answer I gave them? You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of times. Let's say verse 4 together. A wicked and adulterous generation. But the sign of the prophet Jonah. What did he now do? What did he do? When disciples came to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then he said to them, take heed. Look at verse 6. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. They thought they were talking about bread. Those ones said. But verse 12. Look at verse 12. Then they understood how he bade them not to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Of bread. Not bread. But of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's a doctrine. There's a teaching like that. Legalistic. Legalism. Look at the kind of questions they were asking. Say, beware. What's leaven? Leaven means something that corrupts. And you know the thing about it? They will always use the scriptures. Always. That's what they were doing. But they were using the scriptures wrongly. Look at Matthew 19. Are you following me? You know, have you organize a program? Some people will come to be blessed and to be taught. Some will come to come and see what they are saying. Some will come to come and question what they are saying. Yeah, that's what folks are. Matthew 19. Verse 3. Let's take verse 3 together. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? You think it's a sincere question? It's not. Then he answered them. They were using the law. Look at how he answered them. Have you not read?
So they will always hide in. Have some folks, they will come to one, they will just look for one scripture for you. From nowhere. Like Obadiah 6. How will someone leave Ephesians and go to Obadiah 6? Say, what about Obadiah? Is it not God? Is it not God that is speaking? Is it not the truth of God? You see, oh, you see, they are trying to say the other is not the Bible. Is it not the Bible? If you engage them, you are increasing on godliness. Just give them Ella. That's how to do. Jesus did not expound in all the scriptures the things concerning himself with the Pharisees. It's a waste of time. They are not ready. Hallelujah. They are not ready. Look at Matthew 22. There are so much. So when it says you search the scriptures, for in them you think, they are searching the Bible to counter Matthew 22. Look at the kind of question they ask. Verse 23. The same day, verse 23, Matthew 22, came to him the Sadducees, who said there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, they will call you good names. A man of God. Master, Moses said, if a man dies, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. This question always amazes me. And the first, when he had married the wife, diseased, and having no issue, left it towards his brother. Likewise, the second and the third unto the seventh. The last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, you know why? You know why? It's because they don't believe in the resurrection. They were not looking for answers. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the grace of God. They don't believe that Christians should speak in tongues. They say, okay, there was somebody in Spain. How did you get to know? Are you in Ikerido? You get it. So Jesus answered to them. Jesus said, "Hey, wow! When did she die? Oh, that's interesting." He didn't say that. He says, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." She cannot. You know, today if you say that, it's arrogant. You think you know everything. Don't say. You talk like you know everything. I say, I do. I say, you are proud. I say, I know. You are very arrogant. I say, I know that very well. Any new, say something else. Because those are foolish observations. Foolish observations. See, say you know not the scriptures. You err. That word err is panao in the Greek. It means to be misled, to be wandering about. To go astray. Were these guys studying? Were they studying? But they were studying astray. Somebody was doing a study on are all apostles. Do all speak with tongues? I said, you have tried. You are a genius. Said, is it not clear in the Bible? All don't speak in tongues. All don't speak in tongues. Oh, are you? I say, are you true? Say, and don't speak. Because he said, all. That's the truth. Because you don't. So, but why do you now? Why do you now? Why do you now preach that all believers speak with tongues? I say, all believers that believe. You don't believe. When I was younger, I will engage you with me talking. I don't have time. Jesus departed. Learn to depart. You just sweat. You just be sweating. Because their questions never end. What about? Yeah. They are not ready to know. Say, you know not the scriptures.
That word know is eido in the Greek. You know that. Eido. It means to appreciate, to perceive. There are people like that. And they are in the ministry. There was a conference I preached in 97. The theme was eternal life. Obviously, in their minds, was about dying and going to heaven. So the first night, it was a miracle service. So we had the move of the Spirit of God in the service. They were so happy. So the next session was early in the morning. So I taught on eternal life. The present possession of the believer. The eyes of the... You could see it was red early in the morning. And I taught, and I taught, and I taught, and I taught, and I taught. They hardly saw me off to go. I was going, bye-bye. So they now said, you know, so one of them who had some conscience just squeezed 200 naira. Can I never forget it? 200 naira. Yeah, thank you to go back. I said, don't bother. I said, take that. You knew he was not willing. So, by the time I heard the report of that meeting, they were telling another friend, and they said, that guy just came with heresy. Heresy is the next word in the mouth of, they can't spell it too. Heresy. He just was preaching heresy. So the lady said, what's the heresy? All these things now. All these things. Christ has done it. You have everything. Can't you say for the Bible? So, the Satan can quote the Bible. And Jesus also quoted his own. Quote your own. He couldn't say anything. So when I saw him, I said, brother, so and so, I learned. Say yes. See, I'm not saying no question. Don't get me wrong, go. I'm not saying what you're saying not in the Bible. But must you say it like that? If you say it like the people will begin to believe anyhow. I said, ah. That's your meeting. They were living anyhow already. Oh. So what do you mean? How can somebody come for a program and cover our head like this? Somebody who went to university wants to dress to service and looks like a ninja. They're already living anyhow. He was more angry. I didn't care. So the questions were not to know. The questions were to question. They were not to know. Look at 2 Timothy 3:7. Did you ever see a post I did on First Fruit? New Testament? That was so clear. Someone said, are you now saying? Okay. Ah! Nobody can help you. You can't be helped. You have to help yourself. 2 Timothy 3:7. 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. Ever learning. Ever learning. Are never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. They will be studying. 2 Timothy 3:7. They will be studying like this and they will never know. Ever learning. That word ever learning means ever learning. The word learn is what you use to receive instruction. Mathano in the Greek. M-A-T-H-A-N-O. Used for students. 25 times. To take instructions. They are always hearing. But never able to come to epignosis. Precise knowledge. Ever learning. When you see somebody studying to preach, he is likely not embracing precise knowledge. Ever learning. So, never able to come to a pigness of the truth. You know why? Come to verse 8. What happened in verse 8? What the example he gave in verse 8? Now, as what? Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these resist the truth. So, can you see the same thing? They keep opposing people. That's what they are doing. Ever learning. Are never able to come. That word never are two words. Medi poste, M-E-D-E, then poste. When I saw the word, I said, wow, this is serious. Medi means not ever. Posti means at any time. Like a hopeless case. Not at any time. A hopeless case. Why? Because he calls it in verse 8 that they are foolish guys. They always oppose. Look at verse 9. For they shall no longer proceed. For their folly shall be made manifest. It's foolishness. Never, ever come to the knowledge of the truth. You can be in the ministry. And you're not learning. You can be. I study virtually every day of my life. To learn. To know. To go through. What are some folks? They are studying to counter somebody. That's what they are doing. Not to know. So go back to that Luke 24. What did Jesus do to them? Luke 24. Verse 45. And then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. They opened their understanding. Two words. I've explained this text to you before. To open there is used for something that had never happened before. For example, Mark 7:34, ears that have been deaf since the person was born. Mark 7:34. Luke 2:23, the womb, where Jesus was born, the womb. Luke 24:31, the eyes, when they saw Jesus, they hadn't seen him, they saw him. And Luke 24:32, when he explains the scriptures to them. So when you see that word opened, it means a first experience. He opened their understanding. So, there can be Bible teaching that opens your understanding. Now, notice something he says. He opened their understanding that they might understand. That word is also used in Acts 7:56 when the heaven was opened for Stephen. Acts 16:14. The woman whose heart was open to the Lord. And Acts 17:3. Acts 7:56. Acts 16:14. Acts 17:3. It's always a first encounter. It opened their understanding. That word understanding is used for the mind. Their thinking. So they had never thought like this before. This was their first time of thinking like that. That they might understand, which is the word tsunami, S-U-I-N-E-M-I. They might understand, that is, put the facts together. These were scriptures they had been reading, but their eyes were opened. Now, you know we're talking about something about holiness, right? Come on. Now, there are folks who have been preaching holiness and don't know what it is. For years. Because by that they mention holiness, you are scared. Holiness, brother. Holiness. Holiness. So there's only one thing. What was preaching holiness? That God demands of us. The Bible did not say without speaking in tongues, no man shall see the Lord. He didn't say without miracles, he said without holiness. What profits you to believe this word and be seeing prayer and never see the Lord? So it's from, you know, when you get on that lane of Boto, you begin to go in the Boto lane. You are not going. No break, no jam. Brethren, so my aim in this ministry is to make heaven.
make it. How? You want to manufacture it? So say, at the end of the day, may you not miss. I'll miss this one. Any heaven I'm not in now, I don't want to go to. Heaven is not a reward. Heaven is a place for rewards. It's not a reward. It's not your salary after pleasing God. That was who said, some people have streets, some people have a corner shop, some nothing. You know, some have mansion. You know, how can you think that they will give you mansion? People that have that doctrine, number one, they are selfish. How can one person do not have mansion? And it's going to be forever. You won't go out? Huh? Are you watching local stations? What will be local stations? Angels are just saying, holy, holy. You alone, mansion. So, how many rooms? For who? Like I said, that's a bottle, you just be going. So, the subject of holiness. Don't forget, James 1:21 says, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So there's meekness needed in learning God's word. Sometimes you have to hear something for the first time. And there will be scriptures you know. So let's look at the story of holiness. And would, interestingly, we're going to have three texts. 1 Peter 1, 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy. Is anybody going to be here? Sorry. Be ye holy, for I am holy. When we get that verse, their heart just shakes. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So, let's take the words one by one. Hallelujah. One by one. In Hebrews 12:14, the word holiness is the Greek word hagiasmos. H-A-G-I-A-S-M-O-S. H-A-G-I-A-S-M-O-S. Because it's a word, we have to study what it means. You will find that word in Romans 6:19. Romans 6:19. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Servants to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 22. Now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Same word.
1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. That word sanctification there is the word agiasmos, holiness and redemption. So he calls holiness a fruit in Romans 6. He calls holiness here a person. Are you following this? Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is your holiness, your agiasmos, that you should abstain from fornication. 4. For every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor. Same word. 7. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through holiness of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Hagiasmos. 1 Timothy 2:15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness, hagiasmos, with sobriety. 1 Timothy 2:15. 1 Peter 1:2. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the holiness of the Spirit, or better still, sanctification as the King James, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. So, Hebrews 12:14, I just gave you the synonymous text of whatever word he used there. Another place. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The similar text for that will be found in Romans 1:4. Here is referring to that which shows, is the Greek word hagiosune. Hagiosune. That which shows, hagio, H-A-G-I-O-S-U-N-E. That which shows, Romans 1:4. Agio Sune. Talking about Jesus from verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Agio Sune. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To the end that he may be established, or you may establish your heart. So let me start from 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all, even as we do towards you, to the end that he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints, all his saints. So, two places where we have seen holiness. Hebrews 12:14, I gave you the synonymous text. And then 2 Corinthians 7:1. Now, notice that 1 Peter 1:16 is a quote from the Old Testament. Actually, Leviticus 11:44. Look at it. Leviticus 11:44. Leviticus 11:44 says, I am the Lord your God. Notice what he says. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So, that means the term holy is found in the Old Testament text of the scriptures. Now pay attention. That word is an Old Testament word as well. That means we can find it translated from the old to the new. The first place you will see it used is Exodus 3:5. Where Moses, before the burning bush, please turn your Bible there. Exodus 3 and then verse 5. Draw not near hither, put off your shoes from off thy feet. Notice he didn't say he should leave. It was his shoes that was to be removed. That's no big deal. Your shoes is not you. I think so. Okay. For the place where you stand on is holy ground. Or should we say sinless ground? It doesn't make sense, does it? Okay. So, holy ground. Exodus again, 12, verse 16. Holy assembly. That's holy convocation. 15:11, holy God. So there's holy place, holy assembly, glorious in holiness. Talking about God. Who is like unto thee, O Lord. In a song. 15:13. Holy house. Thy holy habitation. 16:23. Exodus. Holy Sabbath unto the Lord. So far, except once where God is mentioned, all the first references in Exodus were inanimate things. A day, or things, or an assembly. Then, in Exodus 22 verse 31, holy men. You shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of the beast of the field. You shall cast it to the dogs. So, we have two words that we are going to examine. The first is Kadosh. Q-A-D-O-C-H. Kadosh is an adjective. The second is Kudesh. Q-U-D-E-S-H, which is a noun. Kadosh is an adjective. Kudesh is a noun. Now, we can understand the noun from the verb. In fact, the explanation of that word says it was derived from the verb. So, kudesh is taken from the Hebrew word kwadash. That is kwa, Q-U-D-A-S-H. Use 175 times. It's a verb. It means to treat differently. It means to dedicate. It's specific. Because of that, listen carefully, because of that verb, that means there must be a dedicator. It's a verb. The terms used for holiness are never intrinsic. That is, they are not inborn. It refers to how something is treated, not what it is. It's how is it treated. That's why you will discover that God will say in the Old Testament or the Old Testament, make yourself holy. Be ye holy. That is, the verb is see yourself differently. Treat yourself differently. There must be a maker of that holiness. So, holiness defines an action. There's an action that makes something holy. Let me explain in a secular way. How many of you grew up in a family where there is daddy's room? And daddy's room is the only one that is locked specially. Now, it's a room like every other room. But because daddy stays there, in fact, when we're growing up, there's a way you will knock on mommy's door. When you knock on my grandma's door, of course, it's the way you knock on the boy's room. You know, we don't open it now. The way you open the boy's room. You open, bah. My brother was fun. He would just open and say, I'm up here, I'm here. You know, imagine what that did to just like a fool. I'm here. But when you go to my dad's room, you pick your steps like you're walking in the spirit. You must not even walk too fast. Then you knock gradually. Gradually. Sometimes you stay at the door till the opposite. What are you doing here? I was trying to come inside. To do what? Then you escape like you rapture. That means he has made the room holy. He has made it that way. So far, the day you have access to that place and it's not around, maybe you travel, you begin to unholy the place. But when you hear the sound of his car horn, you now holy it back. You act like you don't even know where he put anything in that room, whereas you do. So there are some bowls, plates. They are holy. No, it's not that the plate was made holy from the... It's just a normal plate, but this is for daddy. So it's either mommy made it so, or daddy himself did. I don't think any plate came and said, I am for daddy. It was made that way. You can go on and on. There are some sitting rooms that are for daddy's guests. You understand? That is the word Kodesh. It is treated differently from the rest. It's not that the thing has any special attribute. No. It might not. But that is how it is treated.
Just like when Moses got that land, the land was to be so treated. At that point, there was nothing in the land that was sinless. It was just that that land was treated differently. Are you following? So, for something to have the noun, the verb must have caused it. It must have been consecrated. So, holiness defines an action of someone who made it, they or them, holy. Are you following what I'm saying? Look at this. The very first place where that verb, kwadash, was used, will let you know. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2. In fact, before we go to Genesis 2, look at the fact that a day was called holy. Sabbath. That is, this day will be treated differently from the other day. That is, the things you are going to be doing will be selective. Whatever you will be doing will be selective. Look at this. We just read one that says a Sabbath day or Sabbath days. Look at Matthew 12. We read that earlier. Sorry, Mark 2. Put your hand in Mark 2. Mark's Gospel 2, verse 27. It was when they questioned why they had to eat on the Sabbath day. Verse 27. He said unto them, please listen well to this. He said unto them, let's read it together. He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That word made for means made on the account of man. That is, man made the Sabbath. That is, man chose a day. So that day you are talking about is man that made it Kwadesh. Because the law was given by who? Moses. So, that means man can make something holy. And he says, I am a son of man. I am Lord of the Sabbath. I thought the Sabbath is holy. Man made the Sabbath holy. So, don't build a denomination on it. Sabbath International Church. Just like Sunday. We made Sunday the way it is. Am I right? The word Sunday is not in the Bible. Don't change your name. If you are brought Sunday, it's not there. Monday. In fact, they are used more by pagans. Those days were created by pagans, the names. Those days, I'll stop calling Sunday. It's not God day. You see. Church day means Sunday. What about the seventh day of the week? You can choose Tuesday. I know some Christians are very born again on Sunday. Very born again. By Monday, they have unholy the days. So really, a day was called holy. So the very first mention of the Sabbath day is in Exodus 16:23 and Exodus 28. Exodus 16:23 and Exodus 28.
Tomorrow is the rest of the Holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Rest of the Holy Sabbath. Exodus 28. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, look at the word. Let's look at the word Sabbath. The word Sabbath is from another Greek word, Hebrew word, sorry, Shabbat. S-H-A-B-A-T-H. It's used 71 times. And it means to cease, to stop, or to accomplish. That's why it is said that if you are owing before that day, you are not owing, that year, sorry, for a year, not a day, you are no longer owing. That you don't work. But you see, legalistic mind did not see the import of that. 71 times. What exactly was holy? It was not the day. It was the fact that that day represented. That the works are ceased. The works are accomplished. And where did they get it from? Genesis 2, verse 3. I'll start from 1. Thus the heavens and the earth was finished, and the host of them. Genesis 2:1. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. He rested from all his work, which he has made. Now, put your hands there before we go further. Look at that Exodus 20 again. Verse 11. And see why the Sabbath was instituted. For the 6 days of the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Hallowed it. So in their own minds, what that day represented was no work. Don't do anything. That's why they were questioning Jesus healing the sick. Or people being fed. Or plucking corn. But that's what religious minds have. Legalistic mind. He says in verse 3, Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord blessed the seventh day. Not a Sunday. And sanctified it. Because in it he had rested from all the work which God created and made. Now let me ask you, who rested, God or man? It's not God. It's not God. You are reading it like you're under the law. Go back there and see a twist. God blessed heaven day and sanctified it because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Go to Hebrews 4. What Sabbath again? To cease, to stop, to accomplish. Verse 3. Let's read verse 3 together. Huh? We enter what? As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. So who is entering into rest? Who is the rest for? Who is the rest for? Go on now. Although the works were finished from what? He spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. Who spoke? Okay. God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Which one explains the other? Huh? The prophets now. So let's go over that again. Okay. God rested. I mean,
You prefer to have God rested? No. The rest is for man. To rest on what God has finished. So man rests on what God has finished, and that rest is faith. So from the foundation of the world, God had made faith holy. To believe. To rest on what God has done. So while in their minds, they were looking at a Sunday or a Saturday, the issue in scripture was faith. To cease from actions and to just believe. To cease. So, man made Saturday holy, God made faith holy. Do you understand? Huh? Do you understand? Man made it a day holy, God made faith holy. So, while they are looking at a day, we don't even know which day it was, a seventh day. Is it a Saturday? No, it's a Sunday. No, it's a Monday. By the time we go to the epistles, it's talking about a period. The period of rest. Where faith is now our access to God's rest. To just believe. So, we which have believed, and believe what? Believe the gospel. We have entered into His rest. So, the very first time holy was used or sanctified is for the rest of God. So, notice this. That the text we have read so far, holiness is not in relation with sin. Did you see it? Did you see it?
No.
It's not the opposite of sin. So, in fact, if you read the scriptures properly, what is usually used as the opposite of sin is righteousness. Romans 5. What appears to be, let me say it that way, so I won't be caught napping. Wherefore, as by one man, Romans 5:12, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So let me ask, was holiness used as a cure to sin? Huh? There was no sin, right, when holiness was used. So holiness is not the opposite of sin. Let me even say it. Holiness, okay, let me leave it for now. It's not it's at all. Things were called holy, days were called holy, a floor was called holy. We are going to see next week. Animals were called holy. Animals. Cup was called holy. There was no spoon. A house was called holy. So, you will now find it difficult to call yourself holy. You need deliverance. So, holiness means to treat differently. To treat specially. So, God treats faith, especially, to believe in His word. The minute a man believes, he enters into his rest. That rest was made for man. Is that okay? Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, for all had sinned. For unto the law, sin was in the world, Romans 5:13, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the sin of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. Notice that. He uses the offense in relationship with the free gift. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, abundant to many. But not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, and the free gift is of many offenses unto what? Justification. Let's say 17 together. Reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, and of what? The gift of righteousness. So, what appears the opposite of sin? The gift of grace, which is the gift
of righteousness.
So, the answer to sin is the gift of righteousness. Are you in church?
Are you in church? Are you in church? Come on. Look at verse 20. Okay, let's take verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Let's take 20 together and 21. Moreover, the law entered, and that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace did abound much more. Verse 21. Even so, grace reigns through righteousness. Is that very clear?
So, what is the antidote to sin? Huh? And righteousness is a gift. Okay? Don't always be talking holiness and sin in the same verse. Where it relates, I will tell you. If somebody commits a sin, that's not when he has to be holy. That's when he has to receive the gift of righteousness. Do you understand? Because if he's holy, that sin becomes holy. Do you... Sorry for my joke, but it's not a joke. It's actually serious. Do you understand? Psalm 29, verse 21. Okay. You know, I said the jokes of holiness. So you spare me. I'm not even saying joking. Next week. Psalm 29, verse 21. He had made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might. So every time we talk about sin, the antidote is righteousness. So we'll view holiness further. For example, in the Lord's Prayer, when you say the Lord's Prayer, let the Lord pray it himself. In the so-called Lord's Prayer, he said, Our Father, Matthew 6:9, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Who makes his name holy? Huh? We know. That is, of the names on the earth, we treat your own specially. Is that clear? So, holiness is how you treat someone, something, or activities. So, who determines what is holy? The holy fire. Sorry, that is the holy fire, just my own terminology. It is the man. You treat it holy. Specially. Whether it is a day, whether it's things, just like Moses. And this will lead me to where I will stop. The Holy Spirit. Why is it called, I'll close here, Holy Spirit? So think about it though. Don't leave our terminology of holy. Is it sinless spirit? I'm asking. Because holiness does not mean there's an intrinsic value. It just means that it has been valued by someone. I mean, just like one time, they said that Alex Ferguson's chewing gum, his gum, was being auctioned. Not auctioned, I said auctioned. I think it was £30,000 or something like that. Shingom. But that shingom is holy to some people. I mean, some folks, when I was younger, they just touched Michael Jackson and said, Michael! You guys, but it's holy to them. That's what holiness is. Shingom. And they'll buy it. I wonder, where will you put it? In your sitting room? In your room? Bedroom? On top of your house? But they saw it as holy. So, when we have Holy Spirit,
What is Holy Spirit? You know? What is Holy Spirit? Wow, why are you looking like that? We just define Holy. So what is Holy Spirit? What is Holy Spirit? Why do we have to say Holy Spirit? That means there are other spirits. Man, angels, demons, Satan. So, we say Holy Spirit, which until the epistles was an exclusive preserve of God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Treated differently. So we say, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. We'll examine that. Go to 1 Peter 1, 2, then I think we'll close from there. So, the holiness is our nature. It depends on what you are talking about. 1 Peter 1, 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification of the Spirit. That means there's holiness of the Spirit. The Spirit is holy. Seen differently, walks differently, and treated differently. Amen. So. I think we've done a series of holiness. It's not the opposite of sin. It's not sinlessness. Praise God. Is that clear enough? It just means that which is treated differently. Treated specially, and as we see later, treated with reverence and respect. So whenever you say he that sanctified and those are sanctified, that means in Christ we are treated with respect, with regard. I will find out what it is. Praise God. Are you blessed? Stand to your feet, give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. Worship.